तप्येन्द्रिये अपि नशति प्रातः
temporary, brother, bratravya, enemy, rit, within the heart, ruja, by lamentation. Translation, Dhruva Maharaj lamented, I was under the influence of the illusory energy, ignorant of the actual facts, I was sleeping on her lap. Under a vision of duality, I saw my brother as my enemy and falsely lamented within my heart, thinking they are my enemies. Purport, real knowledge is revealed to a holy only when he comes to the right conclusion about life by the grace of the Lord. Our creation of friends and enemies within this material world is something like a dream of night. In dreams we create so many things out of various impressions in the subconscious mind, but all such creations are simply temporary and unreal. In the same way, although apparently we are awake in material life, because we have no information of the soul and supersoul, we create many friends and enemies simply out of imagination. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that within this material world or material consciousness, good and bad are the same. The distinction between good and bad is simply a mental concoction. The actual fact is that all living entities are sons of God or byproducts of this marginal energy. Because of our being contaminated by the modes of material nature, we distinguish our spiritual spark from another. That is also another kind of dreaming. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, that those who are actually learned do not make any distinction between a learned scholar, a brahmin, an elephant, a dog, and a chandala. They do not see in terms of the external body, rather they see the person as their soul. By higher understanding, one can know that the material body is nothing but a combination of the five material elements. In that sense, also the bodily construction of a human being and that of a demigod are one and the same. From the spiritual point of view, we are all spiritual sparks, parts and parcels of the Supreme Spirit of God. Either materially or spiritually are basically one, but we make friends and enemies as dictated by the illusory energy. Dhruva Maharaj therefore said, diving maya upasrita, the cause of visible knowledge is association with the illusory material energy. Text 35, it's very difficult to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God, but in my case, although I have satisfied the super soul of the whole universe, I have prayed only for useless things. My activities are exactly like treatment given to a person who is already dead. Just see how fortunate I am, for in spite of meeting the Supreme Lord, who can cut one's link with birth and death, I have prayed for the same conditions again. Wherefore, sometimes it so happens that a devotee engaged in loving service to the Lord desires some material benefit in exchange for the service. This is not the proper way to discharge devotional service. Out of ignorance, of course, sometimes the devotee does so, but Dhruva Maharaj forgets his personal behavior in this connection. Because of my state of complete foolishness and paucity of pious activities, although the Lord offered me his personal service, I wanted material name, fame, and prosperity. My case is just like that of a poor man who, when he satisfied a great emperor, who wanted to give anything he might ask, out of ignorance has only a few broken grains of pustle rice. Purport, in this verse, the word svarajam, which means complete independence, is very significant. The conditioned soul does not know what complete independence is. Complete independence means situation in one's own constitutional position. The independence of the living entity who is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of God, or just to remain always dependent on the Supreme Lord. That's like a child who plays in complete independence, guided by its parents who watch over it. The independence of the conditioned soul does not mean to fight the the obstacles offered by Maya but surrendered to Krishna. In the material world, everyone is trying to become completely independent simply by fighting against the obstacles offered by Maya. This is called the struggle for existence. Real independence is to be reinstated in the service of the Lord. Anyone who goes to the Vaikuntha planets or the Loka Vrindavan planet is freely offered his service, is freely offering his service to the Lord. That is complete independence. Just contrary to this, his material overlordship, which he wrongly thinks to be independence. Many great political leaders have tried to establish independence by using so-called independence. The people's dependence has only increased. A living entity cannot be happy trying to be independent in the material world. One has to surrender, therefore, under the lotus feet of the Lord and engage in his original eternal service. Guru Maharaj forgets that he wanted material opulence and greater prosperity than that of his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. He begged from the Lord like a poor man asking a great emperor for a few grains of broken rice. The conclusion is that anyone who is engaged in loving service to the Lord should never ask for material propensity from the Lord. The awarding of material prosperity simply depends on the stringent laws, rules and regulations of the external energy. Pure devotees ask the Lord only for the privilege of serving him. This is our real independence. If we want anything else, it's a sign of our misfortune. Rupa Maharaj lamented, I was under the influence of the illusory energy, being ignorant of the actual facts. I was sleeping on her lap. Under a vision of duality, I saw my brothers, my enemy, and falsely lamented within my heart, thinking they are my enemies. So here Dhruva, as in the previous verses, is lamenting his mistake. Of course, we see that when he saw the Lord, he recovered. But still, he is blaming himself for his initial foolishness, which, in one sense, is not so much subject to criticism because he was a small child. And we find that everybody in the material world is in the same position, even if they're not small children, but adults. So he says here, he was dinadrik, which literally means to see difference. And he says prasupta, who was also sleep state. This word bindadrik is often used in Bhagavatam and other scriptures, though the meaning may be a little bit difficult to understand by the literal words. So seeing difference ultimately means the vision in the material world, which we call duality. The opposite of duality is non-duality, or monism. This, of course, has a bad connotation in the sense of Advaita philosophy, where everything is one. However, we will see in the Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita, there are many verses which talk about seeing oneness. So in Bhagavad Gita, the wise man will see no difference between the Brahman and the Chandala and the elephant and the dog eater, etc. He's seeing oneness. So this Samadarshana concept, seeing equally, is there. And we'll see this in many places in Bhagavad Gita, also in Bhagavatam. One should see everything equally. This is often stated. Particularly, of course, for those practicing jnana, that should have this equal vision. So what does this mean? This means that we are indifferent to the senses and the enjoyment of the senses, because it is the senses desiring enjoyment which causes us to see difference. I think this is good and I think that is bad. That's the main difference. Right, we see things in terms of difference in order to distinguish what I want and what I like, what's enjoyable from what I don't like, what's not enjoyable. So it's all based upon like and dislike, or ichcha and dvesha, which arises from desire in the jiva, which arises from ignorance. So the jnani cuts out ignorance by attempting to see everything equally. And that means he has to give up his concept of like and dislike. In other words, one gives up desire in the material world, then one sees everything equally as one. So that's one idea there of seeing oneness. The other, of course, is a philosophical idea that everything comes from Brahman. Or everything is Brahman. Which can be interpreted in two ways. One is the completely Advaita concept, which we don't accept. It's that only Brahman exists, everything else is illusion. So instead of seeing world, we will see Brahman only and see the whole world as illusion. So we see oneness in the sense we see Brahman, not the material world. We see everything in the material world as one, Brahma, the dog eater, except because he's all illusory, it's all different, and ultimately only Brahman exists. So that's one way of getting free of sense, enjoyment, and then finally seeing a vision of Brahman. The other is, oneness is that of the Vaishnavas, and that is we see everything as one because everything comes from the Lord. And that means his energies are non-different from him. In that sense, everything is one. So when we see the aspects of material nature and all the jivas, we understand they're related to the Lord. And so in that sense, we see the Lord also in them. The Lord is related to them and ultimately controlling everything. So we see the Lord in that way. So that oneness is there for the Vaishnava. So, this idea of oneness is there, and of course, in either case, the obstacle to that is seeing difference. So when we see difference, objects in terms of I like and I don't like, we just, of course, discard Brahman, and we think that these things are real, not illusory. And if we're Vaishnavas, then we also discard the Supreme Lord as the absolute enjoyer, and we think we're the enjoyer, and we see in terms of I like this, I don't like that. So in any case, for the Vaishnava or the impersonalist, this Binda Drik is not favorable for one's advancement. It is a symptom of one's conditioning in this material world, one's illusion. So, therefore, this is reflected in all the activities in the material world. So, that is one expression of maya. And the other, of course, is being asleep, prasupta. So, if we're asleep, then if we have dreams. Those dreams are illusory compared to our waking state. So, when we're in this condition of seeing difference, this is like a dreaming state. And when we give up that seeing difference, then we're in a waking state. So this is the analogy given here. So Dhruva laments that he was in this condition of seeing difference and being in Maya. And consequently, then he saw his brother in terms of distinctions, duality, like or dislike. So, I dislike my brother because he's taken the kingdom away and I want the kingdom. So based upon desire for prosperity, possessions, wealth, fame, etc., then he developed hatred towards his brother and his stepmother. So this was the result of this Binda Drik, or seeing in terms of duality. Consequently, this was the motivation, of course, for his going to the forest and worshipping Vishnu. And then Narada Muni came and told him the proper method and gave him mercy, and then later he saw Vishnu. So his initial motive was Maya. Nevertheless, we see the result was good because he saw the Lord. So in that sense, there was no problem. But he does lament that his original motive was purely this material motive. However, because he did worship the Lord, that is the good quality. Okay? So his mother, of course, suggested that he did not have to follow that instruction, and many people would not do that, but he did. So that's to his credit. So therefore, he had some sort of faith in the Supreme Lord, and he began to worship him. And then Narada Muni also gave him mercy. So these two persons, his mother and Narada Muni, by their mercy and knowledge, then he was able to practice very nicely. So in spite of the fact that he did have material tendencies, nevertheless, he also has a good portion of having faith, and then he attracted the mercy of his mother and Narada Muni. So, in any case, he should not lament so much because he didn't get good mercy, and therefore he ultimately saw the Lord. But here, of course, he is lamenting that unfortunate position of having some material desires, even though he did have good fortune. He also thought himself very foolish for this desire. Now, this is natural for devotees. They will understand the insignificance and uselessness of their material desires, and therefore they will regret those things after they've advanced some degree in bhakti and in the beginning of devotional service. They may not realize this, but as they advance, then they are they have a higher vision, therefore they reject all of these different things and they regret them. So he was in this condition of life, seeing his previous faults and whatever. So as I said, the Vaishnava, he will lament that foolishness that he had. And this is, of course, a reflection of his humility. He understands that he is only a particle in front of the Supreme Lord as a jiva, so he should not be proud. So he laments his weak, pitiful state of being a jiva in the material world, attracted to material things. At the same time, we understand that Dhruva was not an ordinary person. His great-grandfather was Brahma, and his grandfather was Swayambhuva Manu. His father was also a great devotee, great king, Dhanapada, king of the whole Bharatvarsha, whatever. So he had many great ancestors as well. And he himself, as we see, also ruled the kingdom very nicely for 36,000 years. So he was not a normal person, great devotee of the Lord. But it is the quality of the devotee to criticize their own faults or weakness or whatever and consider themselves very, very low. So this is a reflection of his humility in criticizing himself like this. Sin? For what?
Below 5 years old.
Oh, generally sin is not considered until a person is responsible. Okay. A sin is not considered for children. When they become responsible and they're able to discern things when they're adults, then they become responsible for activities. So when they're children, they're not given that responsibility of having sin. Yeah. Well, yeah, he was also a child, so in one sense it's not very significant. And of course, it's not a sin in the normal sense. He simply had a desire for a kingdom. You know, he was not killing people or things like that. We do see that the King Vena, when he was growing up, he would torture his children, their children, and throw them in the river and do things like that. So he was quite evil-minded and whatever, and sinful. But Dhruva was not sinful in that way. He simply wanted a kingdom. So he went off to the forest to get a kingdom. So, but he laments his position of being foolish. But as we see, he was only a small boy. So we can't really blame him in one sense also. Son of a kshatriya and a small boy. So we really can't blame him in one sense.
look like this, so
generally not. Just like animals don't have sinful activity, so children also cannot think like adults. They don't have buddhi or discriminating power, so therefore that's not considered sin.
வாங்கிட்டு வந்துச்சு.